Thank you, David.
I'll knock that off. Sorry. Sometimes my hands get to going and things might get to flying. Okay. Good morning. I would like to welcome everyone here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What I've got today is I'm going to talk about love. I looked at the, that thing. Thank you. the verses that she had on there fit right in, and it was hopefully a confirmation that that's what we need to hear. You know, with all the things that are going on in the world and the political seasons amping up and people's heart rates are getting higher and anger's getting raging and all this stuff that we don't really have a lot of control over except ourselves. And it's the way we treat people is how we're going to be known as disciples of Jesus. And you know, all the stuff we've had going on here recently with the salvation discussion and the sermons we've had and everything, they were great. I think they're good. And I got to thinking, God wants us to know that He loves us. Even when we feel like we're getting beat on or we feel like we're getting chastened, He does that because He loves us. Let's get into the Word. I'm going to start in Revelation. Revelation 3, 19. I got a lot of one verses today. Revelation 3, verse 19, it says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." He loves us so much that he just didn't say, "I created you, here's the earth, I've sent Satan and his angels down here to be with you here on earth to give you a choice because we have been given free will." If he didn't care for us, he would just let that go. He would just let Satan run amok, you know. They're in heaven, they're sitting up there, they're happy. But yet we're His creation, and He created us. And He created us in His image, and He loves us. He loves us more than anybody on this earth that I know of that I felt love from. Excuse me. I have felt more loved by somebody that I've never seen before. And I have to remember that God isn't just sitting up there like I heard recently. And it's a thought that goes through our heads. It has mine, and I'm guessing nobody's different than me, that when Elder Don said when he was little, you know, he felt like if he did something wrong that God would hit the smite button. Yeah, I kind of felt that way when I was little. And I also didn't understand until I was helped by reading a book that all the things that God does in our life is to get us to heaven and to get us to love Him and to show His love for us. When I look at the bad things that's happened in my life, honestly, in some way, it's guided me towards Jesus Christ. Now, I may not see it, but looking back on it with hindsight, I can see that that's what was happening. You know, it's like I had a rebellious nature. Probably still do at times. But He took that and He molded that into what He could use me for. And I'm grateful for it. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to be perfect. He didn't wait for us to know everything that He has set forth in His books, books of life, rules and regulations and things to guide our lives and to live our lives. These books are love. Everything in it, honestly, if you read it right and look at it, it's love. Except maybe when He does hit the smite button. But you know, honestly, I was thinking about that somewhat. That while we were yet sinners, that He died for us. Christ died for us. He knew what we needed. And He was sent to do it. And He did it out of love. You know, I was thinking back on these stories, Bible stories, that I was taught when I grew up and stuff. And I have to be honest with you, they scared me somewhat. Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt because she did what she wasn't supposed to do. And you know, when you hear some of these, it's like, okay, as a little kid, my mind was probably twisting it from what it was meant to be, but it's like, maybe He is sitting up there waiting to hit that button, but He's not. And it was a great thing that when I realized that everything He does for me is out of love. And if He was going to wait for me to be perfect, He'd be waiting a long time, because I don't know as I'll ever get there except through Christ Jesus. Let's go to verse 35 in the 8th chapter of Romans. I think this is some scriptures that gets twisted around at times, maybe. 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to do it? Who can come in there and take the love of Christ away from you? Shall tribulation? The tribulations we go through in life as individuals and as a country and as a world, you know, can they draw you away? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? And it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep before the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. None of that can separate how God loves us. None of it can separate us. However, God loves His children, and we are His sons and daughters if we have accepted Jesus Christ and went down into the waters of baptism. We love our children, don't we? We love them. We love them with an unconditional love. We may not like the things that they do at times, but we still love them. And we want the best for them. You know, sometimes our kids go astray. I went astray with my parents. You all probably somehow at one time may have went astray. I don't know. Like we have before. We still love our children, and we do anything to change the bad things that they're doing in their life, because we know the road that it leads. We know the path. We know the end of the path sometimes that they're on. God knows the end of the path I was on, and He changed it. I can't put my finger on the exact moment that things turned for me, but He did that for me out of love. Yeah, God does. He would that none would perish. However, we know that the disobedient, those that have evil works, they're not going to get to heaven. Does he not love them? Does he not want each and every one of us to make it to heaven? The same way with some of our children, and maybe some of us, is that our parents loved us so much and they tried to help us out and stuff, but we just did not listen. It doesn't mean I still don't love my children. It doesn't mean that my parents or your parents didn't love you. It's that we just didn't listen out of because they have more wisdom than we had at that time. God loves us so much that he will put things, I firmly believe it, that he will put things in your path to change, to help change and to guide you towards his son, Jesus Christ. Now, if we see it or not, that's up to us. But I believe he puts that in everybody's life at one time or another. I call it the time of reckoning. I don't know. Mine was at 30, 33 years old. I know when that happened in my life because that's when I started studying. That's when a couple of the elders started teaching me how to study. I started reading and studying on my own, and everything started opening up to my understanding that I could understand what the scriptures are saying to me. And that when I really started thinking about it and studying today, or studying in the last couple weeks for the sermon, and when I started going out in my private wilderness, you might say, where I don't have the distractions and stuff, I felt that overpowering love at a couple times when I was out by myself. And it's like, it's overpowering to me. And it was great. Because sometimes I don't know if I'm very lovable. But yet it was nice to know that even with all the questions I have about the scriptures and all the questions I have about why things are going on the way they are, he still loves me. 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. He would have all of us come to the knowledge of the truth, but we're not all going to make it. The scriptures are clear that there are going to be those that he hits the smite button on, you might say. I don't know if that's a good term to use or not, because I truly believe that he doesn't have a smite button, to be honest with you. We're going to condemn ourselves by the lives we lead. But he wants all of us to make it. That's why I think he puts those, if we're on the wrong path in life that's going to lead to destruction, I believe he puts obstacles in that path to try to get us off of it. Does it make sense? Am I making sense? Y'all are quiet today. Book of Mormon. Helaman 4. If you're going by page numbers, 585. And I cheat. Helaman 4, verse 68 and 69. And if the Lord shall say, because of thine iniquities, thou shalt be cut off from my presence, He will cause that it shall be so. And woe unto them whom he shall say this, for it shall be unto him that will do iniquity, and he cannot be saved. Therefore, for this cause, that men might be saved, hath repentance been declared. Now I'm going to jump down to verse 72. And I would that all men might be saved. But we read that in that great and last day there are some which shall be cast out, yea, which shall be cast off from the presence of the Lord. Yea, which shall be consigned to a state of endless misery, fulfilling the words which saith, that they have done good shall have everlasting life, and they that have done evil shall have everlasting damnation, and thus it is. Amen. Well, I'm going to look back up here at the last part of verse 69. Have you ever thought about that repentance is an action of love by God? Because not only is love a feeling, but also love is action. You know, you can say you love something, or you can say to somebody, well, I love you. Well, is that just words that fly out of your mouth and go off into the air? Or do you show that love with some type of action? As I was doing my study and stuff, I got to thinking, for this cause that man might be saved, hath repentance been granted. So I see repentance as a gift to us out of love, because if he hadn't given us repentance, we would still be under the sin of Adam. And we wouldn't have a way of asking for his forgiveness. So I am thoroughly convinced that this is an act of love, that he gave us repentance. John 3:16. I always love these verses, but they probably get overused, but probably not. I'm sorry, I talk. I think out loud sometimes, and it gets me in trouble. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I see a couple of actions things there, and one of them is God so loved. He loved us. And the word that he gave his only begotten Son, that's action. He just didn't say, I love you. He gave us his Son out of love. He said, here's my Son. It's a gift for you. Accept it. It's all out of love. The death on the cross was out of love. I can't express the way I feel how much God loves us. I don't have the vocabulary. It's overpowering is the only word I can. Awesomeness. Those are the words that come to mind, and they really don't do that love that he has for us justice. Because he gave us things. First book of James. Or James, first book. James 1. Excuse me. James, excuse me again. James 1, 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Do you count it joy when you're tempted? Do you count it joy when you're tested? I usually don't, but when I look at it and I think about it, that testing, then The temptations that come before us are a test to see what we know, where we stand, what we believe. And in school, I took a test because, you know, you took tests to, so they would know what you understood. And a lot of times I'd look at those tests and I wouldn't see that, oh, I got a 75. No, I'd look at it and say, oh, I missed 25% of them. But the tests in life, the temptations that come our way, they're good for us. They let us know what we need to work on, and they also let us know where we stand and how we understand and if we're doing okay. So we need to look at those things in both ways. We need to say, okay, I need to work on this. I need to work on this really bad. I need to work on loving my neighbor as myself. But also, we've got these things over here that 75% were right. So I know 75% of the material, and that's a good thing. So when I get these temptations that come before me and stuff, and I think, okay, here we go. How am I going to do? Sometimes I don't do so well, but that's good for me because it lets me know, Mark, you really need to kind of work on this a little bit. You need to work on the words you use. So let's count it all joy when we have those temptations, because it's out of love. It really is out of love. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 32. It says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We need to forgive other people their trespasses against us. Forgiveness. God's forgiven us. We need to forgive people also. It also says in the scriptures that if you have a fault with somebody, you're supposed to go to them one-on-one and try to work it out. That's all out of love. And the scriptures lay things out, and if they're done in the right way, I've done that with people that I've had misunderstandings with, is probably the wording I should use, because it's what it was I misunderstood what somebody was talking to me about, and I've had to go to them one-on-one, and usually that stops there, because you work things out with each other and you have a greater respect for each other. At least that's the way I come away from those type of encounters, and I feel like I have gained a friend over that. They may not. You know, I don't know. But if God loved us while we were yet sinners, shouldn't we pass on that love to those around us? That's how we're going to be known as Christ's disciples, is by the love we have for others and for each other that are in the church. John 13. I've got quite a few verses out of John, so you might keep your fingers stuck in there if you want. John 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. A new commandment. Christ had a way of changing the way we should think about things, because the thing that popped into my head was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But he says, if you're angry with your brother, you're sinning. So he's put, I don't know if I want to use a new spin on it, but he put it to where it's on our heart and not the law that's out there. I hope I got that through. John 15. John 15, verse 12 through 14. Jesus says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. He loves us unconditionally. He doesn't like everything we do, don't get me wrong, but he loves us unconditionally. Some of the friendships I have, I don't agree with everything that my friends might do, but they're still my friends, and I still love them. And if it's contrary to the beliefs that I have out of the Scriptures, I may mention it. I don't try to hound them or beat them up with it, but I do bring it to their mind, and then hopefully that starts something in their thinking. But they're still my friends, and I still care for them, and I still love them. I have family members that I love dearly, but man, we fight like cats and dogs at times. So I came up with this. I thought it was a brilliant idea. It works for me. I have a brother that we can go at it like cats and dogs because we don't agree the same. So one day when we were on the phone having a conversation, it hit me. Stop arguing with him. So I did. I told him, I says, you can rant all you want about your beliefs, and I'll sit here and listen to you, but you know where I stand, and I know where you stand, and over the years, we have never changed each other's views, so let's not argue about it. So I don't. It took my brother probably 2 to 5 minutes to calm down and to understand what I was trying to get through to him, but the last few visits we've had have been great. We don't go into politics. That's where the rub comes with us. And religion. He's got his own views and I've got mine, and those do kind of clash at times. But we have respect for each other on those ideas. Hopefully my ideas went out. I don't know. Okay. Thank you. Where am I at? Oh no, 2 pages. Here in just a minute, I'm going to go to page 162. 2 Nephi, 13th chapter. I like to go outside sometimes at night when it's a clear sky. I live in town, so I don't get the full cover of stars that you get when you're out in the wilderness or whatnot. But I do. I like to go out there, and I like to stand sometimes, and I like to just look up at the sky and just thoroughly enjoy the peacefulness and all the stars. And I've got this cartoon that I really like. It's about this mischievous little kid, and he's got this stuffed tiger that he calls Hobbes. It's called Calvin and Hobbes. And I thoroughly like Calvin because, I guess because he might have been kind of like me as a little kid, just all over the place. But anyway, there's this cartoon to where Calvin's standing. He's standing out in the middle of the stars, and they're all over the place. And he says, "I'm somebody," said the little speck. Because that's what we are in the universe. It's this little bitty speck. And sometimes I feel like that little bitty speck. But you know what? God loves that little bitty speck. Because he cares enough about that little bitty speck that he knows my name. He cared so much about that little bitty speck that he touched my heart with his love. And he changed somebody that was hard-hearted and would cut you to pieces in a second because he enjoyed the... I don't know what I enjoyed about it. But I'm not that person anymore. And I honestly, I don't like it when that person tries to come out. But he loves that speck. That's what really gets to me is the God of the earth, the God of the universe, the God that created everything, the God that created the nature and the trees and the birds and everything that he gave us for pleasure. The God that runs everything knows that little bitty speck and the details of my life. And that's what really gets to me, is when he knows the details of my life. And he cares about them. He cares how I turn out. He cares if I make it to heaven or not. And it's all out of love. 2 Nephi, 13th chapter, 13th chapter, verse 27. 27 through 29. This is after you've been baptized. The chapter talks about baptism, going down into the waters, how you should go down into the waters, and all this. And then in verse 27, it says, "And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into the straight, narrow path, I would ask, is all done?" Can you stop there? "Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly on the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men." We're asked to love our neighbors as ourselves. Not only are we asked to love God, but we're asked to show that love out there as a light to people that will guide them. Christ set the example for us and the things that he showed us and the things that he did for us. And we're to press forward because it says, a love of God and of all men, of all mankind. It's hard to do. You know, I get all these sound bites and stuff that are coming flying at us 100 miles an hour through the TV and our phones and the internet and everything else. There's so much information out there that's misinformation and whatnot and stuff. We have to focus on the scriptures and keep in mind that even those people that I get irritated with and start hollering at, then Solana turns the TV off, I'm supposed to love them also. That's what it says. Now, I might not love the actions or might not love the way they want things to go, but I'm still supposed to love them as an individual, because how much is a soul worth? Well, it must be worth a lot because Satan spends a lot of time trying to get it. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, starting at verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. So we're supposed to love God, but we're supposed to love our neighbors also. Jesus has, he uses kindness and compassion. And he set the example for us on doing that out of love. So let's go to, I'm finishing up here. I've got a few examples of how I feel like Christ and God worked with people as blueprint comes to mind, but I don't know if that's the word I really want to use, as an example of how we're supposed to treat others. John 4. These are a little bit lengthy, but not too awfully bad. John 4, verse 7 through 19. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and has children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband. This is where I want to get to. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever knew I did. The example I'm wanting to get at is Jesus didn't say, well, you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now, he's not your husband. Get away from me. He didn't do that. We don't know if her husband's died. We don't know if the husband's divorced her. We don't know about the first five. But we know the guy she's living with now isn't her husband. Did he Hit the smite button? No, he had compassion and kindness on her. He just said, go thy way. And what did she do? She went to the city and she told everybody, he knows everything about me. And they accepted him. But he didn't just fly in there and said, you know, turn or burn. He used compassion and kindness. It may be well over a year now, but several months ago I decided that's something I want to work on. I want to work on being more kind and more compassionate. I hope you guys can see it. But it's a struggle, daily struggle, honestly, because of my personality. So I try to remember that I need to be kind and compassionate to people. They're not going to listen to me if I start wailing on them for whatever. They throw up their defenses, and once your defenses go up, they don't listen. I know when my defenses go up, my brain shuts off. Because I'm not really listening to what you're saying anymore. I'm feeling beat up and knocked down, and I want to lash out back at you. Well, that's not kindness and compassion. John 8, 8th chapter of John, first 11 verses. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, she was caught. And they set her in the midst. They said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commandeth us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote in the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man accused thee? She said, No man, Lord. And what did he say? He said, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't dismiss the sin that she had done, but he treated her with kindness and compassion. He said, You know you've done wrong. They should be stoning you. I'm not dismissing the sin that you've done. Just don't do it. Go and don't do it anymore. Go and live your life like I want you to live it. Didn't condemn her. He had compassion on her. I'm going to leave us with this thoughts here. Galatians 6. One through 10. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow evil, you're going to reap evil. If you sow good, you're going to reap good. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let not us be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them which are of the house of faith. Do good unto all men. Love our neighbors. God loves us. And the way that we're going to probably break through some people's outer barriers is with that love. So my whole sermon could be broken down to the verses you have in the flyer. God loves us, and He loves us so much that He sent His Son for us, to not only just to die for us, but to set an example on how we're to live our life, how we're to treat our neighbors. And I truly believe that the message that He gave me on love is something I know I needed to hear. I needed it. And so I'm guessing that since I needed it, and I'm not different than anybody else, I believe that you all needed it too. God loves us. Let's remember that. And let's remember to love our neighbors as ourselves and to treat people with kindness and compassion. We don't have to go along with what they think. We don't have to go along with their sinfulness, if that's a way of putting it. But when you talk to people about those things, you need to remember that you have to have the love of Christ in your heart and compassion for those people. Thanks.